Today, we're talking to the new headmistress for the school. It's Joanne Kevill. Let's get into this episode right now.
Welcome to the Queen's School Chester podcast, the place where we talk to staff, parents and pupils about topics that are relevant to you. Join us as we connect and explore with the community to gain a deeper understanding of life at the school. So let's get into this episode.
Joanne, welcome to this episode of the podcast. How are you today?
I'm great, thanks, and looking forward to tomorrow.
Yeah, well, tomorrow, a big day, of course. So tomorrow, at the time of recording this, is the middle of April, and tomorrow is day one of being the new headmistress of the school. Tell me a little bit about that. How does that feel, first of all?
Oh, I'm so excited. I've been at Queen's for 7 years now as deputy head, and I just love, I absolutely love the school, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. I'm sure that you'll sleep well tonight. Oh, maybe you won't, because you'll be excited about tomorrow. So Joanne, you mentioned that you've been at the school for 7 years, but tell me a bit about your background and what drew you into education and leadership roles and ultimately Queen's as well.
Yes, well, I suppose education-wise, I kind of fell into it by accident, really. I never really knew what I wanted to do at school. I picked my A-levels because I loved them, Irish, biology and geography. I studied geography at Queen's in Belfast for the same reason. And I actually signed up to do a PGCE because I wanted to keep studying for another while. But on the PGCE, once in the classroom, I realised I just loved it. Teaching is such a rewarding job and every day is different. Seeing the students grow and the impact of all our hard work, it's just been amazing. In terms of leadership, I love problem solving and I'm always trying to find ways to make things even better. So I've just naturally been drawn into leadership. And I found myself in my various roles, volunteering for more responsibility at every opportunity I could get. I love data. So being a head of department, I was able to analyse assessment data to see what worked, what hasn't worked, and to try new things. And as a deputy head of Queen's, I've really enjoyed, for example, figuring out how to accommodate to everybody's GCSE and A-level options, putting the timetable together. It's a real jigsaw puzzle, which I've really enjoyed. And I suppose that led me to Queen's. From the moment I stepped through the doors at Queen's, I just knew it was something special. There's a real buzz around school. There's a real love of learning. And that's both from staff and from pupils. The community's really, really strong. And there's a very much can-do attitude at Queen's, which I just love. It's an inspiring place to work.
So it's funny to have gone from Queen's in Belfast to Queen's in Chester, just across the water, of course. And of course, in your position as deputy head, so just for the sake of people listening, how long were you deputy head for?
So I've been deputy head for 7 years at Queen's. Started off as a deputy head academic, looking exclusively at the academic progress of the girls. But that's developed as the years have gone by, and I oversee staff, CPD as well, professional development, which has just been superb. And I've worked very closely with Sue Wallace Woodruff for the last 5 years, and it's just lovely to be able to carry on after her.
Well, I'm sure that she's very proud of the person she's handing the gauntlet to. I wonder then, could you tell me a little bit about the different aspects of your previous roles that you feel have shaped your approach to education and leadership as well?
Yes. Well, I started off as a geography teacher. And something I really loved about that, it's the positive impact of those experiences for the pupils beyond the classroom. So, you know, getting out of the classroom, whether it's climbing a mountain, collecting plant distribution data in glacial areas, assessing the impact of tourism in Blackpool or the south of Italy. Early on, I recognised the importance of a holistic education. With the academics and the co-curricular, you know, offering that rich experience to pupils really makes a difference. Me personally, I just love learning. As a teacher, I've always been keen on the latest developments. In my first post as a newly qualified teacher, I trialled interactive whiteboards when they were first introduced into the classroom. I've piloted handheld interactive voting devices before we had iPads, and I've implemented assessment for learning in the classroom. And throughout my time, I've always volunteered to share that good practice with other teachers. So I realised I loved learning and I loved developing with teachers as well. I've always stepped forward and volunteered to do more. So actually, when leadership opportunities have arisen, I've found that I've very naturally been able to step into those positions. And then I suppose I do feel, both as deputy and now as head teacher, it's really important as teachers that we keep learning. At Queen's, I've supported a huge range of staff through masters, national professional qualifications, so that we all remain at the forefront of pedagogy and education. And I think that's really important that we keep learning.
And you mentioned the word pedagogy there. Just again, for the sake of people listening, some people might not have heard that word before because it is quite an education kind of word. What does that actually mean?
It's funny you should mention that. Our Chair of Governors always laughs when we refer to that term as well. So really, pedagogy is the craft of the classroom. It's our bread and butter. It's what we do. And over time, obviously, teaching and learning strategies have developed. So as teachers, and I would say Queen's teachers in particular, are fabulous at this. It's keeping up to date with the latest cognitive science and making sure that we're delivering the absolute best.
And I'm sure that as we move into the future, AI is going to play a major role in that, but we should probably save that for a separate podcast episode in the future, I think. Very much looking forward to that one. So I wonder then, tell me a little bit about, in your position as headmistress of the school, what are some of your values and what's your vision for the future?
Yes, well, I mean, as a school, what we offer, we're aspirational and very much the offer is a holistic education, you know, where every single girl is able to shine, to be herself. We are a very nurturing environment, but equally it's dynamic, it's exciting. Every single girl genuinely is known and celebrated as an individual. And we really pride ourselves on being able to give every individual the support that she needs to excel, both personally and academically. And that very much marries in with my values as well as an educationalist. I'm a huge advocate and champion of all girls' education. I attended all girls' schools since the age of 8 myself, and I've worked in a wide range of schools. So I can see firsthand how those strong and solid foundations, well, they last a lifetime. I'm still friends with the girls that I met at school, and I know that having that safe space to develop, to grow, to take risks, and to step up to challenges, you know, safe from the distraction of gender stereotypes, it is genuinely empowering. I mentioned already, I'm a reflective, resourceful problem solver. Seeking feedback is really important, and, you know, taking time to listen to staff, to pupils and to parents. And I know that I'm far richer as a result. I'd say I'm an optimist by nature. So, you know, no matter what unforeseen problems, lie in our direction, there's always a way. And I do feel that the Queen's School community is absolutely exceptional in its resilience, its intelligence and its approach. And it's so collaborative in nature. So it aligns very closely with me. And I suppose ambition as well. I'm ambitious in my aspirations and that relentless pursuit of excellence. But empathetic in our approach. I'm a leader, I would say, with a very strong moral compass. And at Queen's, we work so hard to make sure that everybody is fully supported and nurtured. You know, the girls have every opportunity to thrive and succeed. We've got a great board of governors, a fabulous parent body, who really support us every step of the way. And I absolutely love working with our staff. I don't think I've worked with a more dedicated and talented group of staff. And we're all powering ahead to make Queen's continue to succeed.
Oh, I love that. I really do love that. I'd love to find out more about your thoughts on being an all-girls school. I'm just thinking that some people do feel like being in an all-girls school doesn't represent the real world. I don't know whether anybody who's listening to this right now might be thinking that, or maybe they're sort of in two camps. They're not too sure whether a co-ed school, a school with boys and girls, is right for their daughter, or an all-girls school is right for them, or whether that changes from one girl to another. What are your thoughts on all of this? Tell me more.
Yes, well, I mean, sadly, gender inequality does still exist in society. So I feel, you know, the role of girls' schools is as important as it ever was. I think in all girls' schools, every single girl has the opportunity and support to do and to whatever she aspires to, you know, every day in every lesson and beyond the classroom. We're there igniting the girls' curiosity, their potential. Girls in girls' schools outperform their peers in the co-educational schools. They develop greater confidence, and therefore they're the driving force behind creating a more equal society. Recent research shows that girls are twice as likely to study maths and physics in all girls' schools, and participation in sports is much higher. And I think that's really important. And we see that every day at Queen's as well. Our science and maths departments are the biggest departments in the school. We don't have to work hard at developing STEM subjects because the girls choose to do those. So I think that's really important. And there's absolutely a need, in terms of participation as well, those teenage years can be quite tricky. And sometimes there's a drop off in terms of participation, but we just don't see that in all girls' schools. You know, football, for example, girls are 30% more likely to play football in an all-girls environment. And leadership roles, every single leadership role is occupied by a girl at all girls' schools. So that gives them that platform to develop those skills and really grow and shine and empower them, the girls of today, but the women of the future.
Tell me a little bit more about them being the women of the future. I mean, it's great to empower young women, of course. So tell me a bit more about how that makes you feel, knowing that they'll be leaving the school and shaping the world in which they're stepping out into.
It's wonderful to be part of that journey with the girls. You know, in terms of academic achievement, they outperform peers in co-ed environments. Having those leadership skills and developing that confidence over time, it's just fabulous to watch the girls grow and excel. And I think it is because we create that safe space, free from gender stereotypes, that the girls are able to get fully involved. Everything we do is tailored specifically for girls. And there's a long-term impact as well because the alumni network is so powerful. So our girls, when they leave Queen's, I mean, we say in our school song, we say we'll be Queen's girls for all our days. And it is absolutely true. They come back to school. We've got a lunch coming up soon, actually, later in the term, where we've got an alumni lunch. The girls are coming back. They mentor our sixth form students, our year 10 and 11 students, to give them that head start, to give them that step up as they embark on their careers. So it's very empowering and it just works so well.
It's a really good indicator, isn't it? If you've got a strong alumni network, it's a good indicator that girls who've left the school, who are now, you know, creating their own space in the world, that they're happy to keep in touch with the school and to come back. And it's amazing you talk about them mentoring some of the younger girls in the school right now. Tell me a bit more about that. How does that work?
Well, we've got various ways. We have a virtual boardroom. So it means that no matter where in the world the girls are, they're able to zoom in, and we'll have lunchtime meetings. And it just gives, it can be one-to-one mentoring, can be group mentoring. We also have girls who will go on work placements with some of our alumni just to get that little bit of work experience as well, which is very powerful. Help with interview practice, mock interviews for Oxbridge competitive courses. So lots and lots available. And sometimes it's just a chat. And to know that, I think for our girls, it's really inspiring for them to know that some of our alumni, they might have struggled in school, they might have found things difficult, but it's perseverance, it's keep at it and keep going. And to be part of that huge network is so empowering.
Joanne, it's clear that you love working in a school. What is it about being an educator that you love most of all?
Yes, I do love Queen's, I have to say. I think this is my forever school. just love Queen's. This Queen's School family is just so strong, and I'm so proud of what we've achieved. I think it's working in a school where every single member of staff, you know, they care not only about doing the best by the girls, but they care about each other, you know, stepping in to help and stepping up to each challenge that we face. Working with parents, our parents are so supportive, and, you know, being able to work with them to ensure that every single girl at Queen's is engaged, they embrace fully the huge array of opportunities on offer. And I have to say, working with the students and the girls at Queen's in particular, they encourage each other. They're not afraid to stand up and to speak up for what's right, and they celebrate each other's successes. So I mentioned before, you know, what we've got here is aspirational. It's a holistic education. A lot of schools say they do it, but here every single student is known and celebrated as an individual, and they really thrive personally and academically. So today, as I speak to you on the eve of my new headship, I suppose, I'm so excited, you know, at the prospect of leading Queen's. We're approaching our 150th anniversary, and the prospect of just leading the school forward is really exciting.
I love that. I really do love that. And you mentioned earlier in this podcast recording that you're an optimist. I can hear all of that coming through in your voice. In fact, let me just ask you something about that. Where did that optimism come from? Was it your own upbringing? Was it your own education? Or was it just a decision that you made?
I think that's something I mentioned before. I love problem solving. I genuinely feel there's always a way. With a good group of people, with a good team, there's no problem that you can't solve. You can figure it out. You know, and I say, actually reflecting, COVID was a tough time. But at Queen's, literally overnight, we shifted to online learning. It was so empowering. The staff were just amazing. The girls were so engaged. The parents got fully involved. We were looking at old pictures recently, and there's a picture of the gym where it's converted into a testing centre. We had a team of, I think there were about 15 parents who just volunteered to help us get the testing done so we could get the girls back into school again. And so that optimism comes from working with brilliant people over the course of my career, and nowhere better than Queen's.
Joanne, tell me something about what you're interested in when you're not at work. Nothing at all to do with education, nothing to do with Queen's.
Yes.
When you're at home, when it's weekend time, if you have a chance to switch off from work at all, what kind of things do you enjoy doing?
Yes, I think it is really important to switch off. A couple of things. Big one for me is running. I wouldn't say I'm the best runner, but I absolutely love it. You know, mid-distance maybe, at least once a week. It would be a very bad week if I don't get out for a run. And I just find it completely clears my head. Although I probably do a little bit of planning and problem solving. Sometimes I set off for a run and the problem is solved by the time I get back again. So that's really good. I do like reading, but I find I only have the headspace to read in half terms and holidays. I've just started a book actually over Easter. I love the Wes Anderson films. I don't know if you've heard of Hotel Budapest, but a lot of his work is based on an author, his name's Stefan Zweig. So I'm reading his collected stories at the moment. So that's really good. Maggie O'Farrell, loved Hamnet. And I'm also tucking into The Marriage Portrait at the moment. So that's really good. I love going to the theatre as well. Over Easter, actually, I saw Andrew Scott in, it was a production of Chekhov's Uncle Vanya. He played all the parts. And he was amazing. So good. And then I suppose the other one that I quite enjoy, and this kind of maybe is an indication of my age, I'm beginning to really enjoy gardening at home as well. So I think I'm getting old, but I love it. Yeah, I've got a herb garden and fruit, managed to grow some veg quite successfully. But and then also can't forget my lovely family. I do like going out for long walks with the family. I live on the Wirral and we've just got a beautiful coastline. So getting out and about with them is really nice as well. And I think that downtime is so important. Queen's is a really busy, dynamic place, but having that time to sort of slow down and catch up is important too.
Yeah, I think everybody would certainly agree with you on that. Tell me a little bit about your family. How does that look?
Yes, so I have two children. Charlie is 13 and Rosie is 11. And Rosie actually started at Queen's in September. So she's in year 7 and she is just loving it. And it's been quite nice actually to see Queen's. I mean, I've always loved Queen's as a teacher, but seeing it as a parent, it's phenomenal. 2 terms in, the difference in Rosie is just unbelievable. She's just growing in confidence. She loves school. So we start tomorrow and she's so looking forward to getting back to the summer term. And that's just really nice as well.
Brilliant. Well, exciting times for her. Exciting times for you as well. Joanne, very much looking forward to seeing how all of this pans out over the next, over the next few years. So I wish you all the best with that. I hope you sleep well tonight because you've got some busy times coming up ahead, but exciting times for you and exciting times for the school. So thank you very much for being here. It's been great talking to you.
That's lovely. Thank you very much.
That's it for this episode. The next one's going to be coming out soon. So click that option to follow or subscribe if you haven't done so already. And that just means you won't miss it when it comes out. Thanks for listening and bye for now.